gospel lesson is found on page 867 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you allow us this opportunity to come together. We come to worship you as your people. Father, we want to bring you praise and honor and glory. As we come, we also come seeking to hear your voice speaking to us, to know your touch on our lives, to know your presence and power at work in our lives. Make that clear to us this morning, we pray, so that we might serve you faithfully. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We can't get away from it. It happened again. We heard the news on Wednesday. 17 people killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And again, Friday night, 20 people killed in a crowded fish market in Kanduga, Nigeria. In the face of such things, it would be easy to despair. The ongoing evidence of the depth of human sin and the existence of evil keeps finding its way into the headlines. It seems like we can't get away from it. And giving in to despair, our own personal struggles become that much more magnified. It can all be overwhelming, even suffocating. As the world tries to make sense of such things, we can hear the frustration and impotence of their reasonings. The desire for some kind of understanding or some measure of solace remains unsatisfied. The truth is that our longing will only be satisfied by God Himself, something God's people keep learning again and again in each generation. Even though we sort of got started on Ash Wednesday, today we officially kick off our series for Lent called Prayers and Praises. If you're looking in your booklet and you see the title of Being Followers of Jesus, well, that's from a previous season. And that just, again, is another example of human sin. I messed up this week and I didn't get that changed in the booklet. What are we going to do during this series? Focusing on the psalm appointed for each Sunday, we will see the connection between our prayers and our praises. Our prayers flowing from our needs and our longings and concerns in life. Our praises flowing from recognizing God's answers to our prayers, which often reach far beyond what we ever imagined. The translation of the Hebrew title for the Psalms is actually the Book of Praises. Prayers are connected to praises. Well, we begin this morning by looking at Psalm 25 as we hear David express the longing for God's pardon and his protection. If you want to follow along, I'm going to suggest you just look at the form of Psalm 25 printed in the insert. The first step David takes is to bring his longing before the Lord. It comes right at the beginning. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. It's hard to know how much energy may have been spent trying other alternatives. But whether early or late in the process, David makes a deliberate decision and a deliberate effort to turn to the Lord in prayer. While we're not able to connect this with a specific incident in David's life, it is clear he is facing some kind of adversity. When we face adversity, we have all kinds of alternative possible responses. Finding someone to blame, anybody but ourselves, of course. Spending our time whining about it, why me? Going into depression because we feel trapped. Isolating ourselves because we want to create distance from the pain or we want to hide from other people. Getting angry at the world with some kind of misguided rage. Fill our lives with frantic activity as a distraction or way of numbing the pain. Those are all possibilities. David shows us a different alternative. He brings himself directly to the Lord, an option based on what he knows about God and about himself. In the process, David finds forgiveness and guidance and confidence for living through the adversity. In the process, he gives us a model for responding to adversity in our own lives. The beginning point being taking our concerns to the Lord in prayer. The second step David takes is to trust in the Lord for providing the help he needs. He continues in verse 1, "My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame." And then in verse 14, "My eyes are ever looking to the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." The trust David places in the Lord has everything to do with who God is and how he has shown himself trustworthy. Rather than being overwhelmed by fear, David trusts that God will be reliable in addressing the needs of his life. It is a trust which supersedes David's own ideas of how it should go. A letting go of his own solutions and his own agenda in trusting himself to the Lord. There is a joyfulness in David's tone, along with his awareness that he is completely dependent on God. The awareness of dependency may well have come from the school of hard knocks. But the joy comes in knowing there is no one like God who is so keenly and perfectly concerned for David's welfare. No one else can measure up to that. Well, to trust in the Lord like this is a challenge for us, just as it has been for people throughout the ages. Our tendency is to try to fix things ourselves. Even if we do pray about some issue, it's not unusual to have that be a time when we are giving God instructions. We want him to fix it our way and according to our timetable. You ever find yourself doing that? I know I have. For us to trust the Lord means that we have found him trustworthy ourselves. Deliverance from shame, rescue from danger, relief from distress, those are all things we each value. We have also learned the frustration and ineffectiveness of attempts at self-vindication. The school of hard knocks has been our teacher as well. But there is a joyful quality for us as we take refuge in the Lord because of what we have learned. We relish his promise to be with us, and we relish his combined promise of both strength and preservation, as well as peace and rest, which leads us to praise him for his loving kindness. The third step David takes is to seek forgiveness from the Lord. Verse 6, David writes, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." And again in verse 10, "For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great." Without necessarily pointing to an immediate connection with his current circumstances, David is clearly conscious of his own sin and the insidious impact that can have throughout his life. He seems to have an awareness of his own culpability in many of the difficulties he faces. And that leads him to ask for God's forgiveness. A request based not on any merit of his own, rather one dependent on the mercy and love and grace of God. As great as David's sin may have been, he knew God's forgiveness to be greater still. If you were here, you heard it. In the invitation to Holy Lent read on Ash Wednesday, we heard the acknowledgement of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. That includes you and me. But we already know that, don't we? We may or may not have some particular glaring sin weighing us down, but we're aware of the problem. Today's lesson from Mark reminds us of Jesus' faithful perseverance through the wilderness temptations, an important emphasis on him being without sin and so being suited to be our Savior. And in the epistle lesson, the Apostle Peter states it this way: "For Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God." We come to God seeking forgiveness because we have sinned and need his forgiveness. We come not based on anything we have done to earn that forgiveness, but trusting in God's mercy, love, and grace as demonstrated by giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And because we know God is faithful to his promises, we know that in Christ we do have forgiveness for our sins. That is his guarantee, restoring us to fellowship with himself. And so we praise him for his mercy and his grace. Fourth, as David turns to the Lord, trusts in the Lord, and receives forgiveness from the Lord, he also seeks guidance from the Lord. Verses 3 and 4, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and you have I trusted all the day long." David wasn't seeking some inside track as a shortcut to successful living. Rather, he was looking for the Lord to show him how to walk through all of life generally and these circumstances specifically. He was seeking guidance from the God who created him and who graciously reveals himself to those who seek him. Conscious of his own limitations, David comes with humility before God, saying, "Let me know your ways, your paths, your truth." David's eagerness and expectancy is seen as he prays, "Show me, teach me, guide me, teach me." David shows his confidence in God's immeasurable goodness and love and wisdom. As with the matter of praying to begin with, here too, we like to have things our way. The paths we often choose are the ones we think are best, for us at least, in our own reckoning. If we think about the idea of consulting God's Word, our version of the Bible tends to be the DIY version. You know how different translations have the letters that KJV is the King James Version, RSV is the Revised Standard Version, NIV, New International, you know, you've heard that stuff. The DIY version, you know what that is? The do-it-yourself version. Whether it is facing temptation like Jesus in the wilderness or walking through a difficult or confusing time, we have been given the scriptures to guide us through that time. The regular practice of reading God's Word shapes and prepares us beforehand, and the urgent searching of His Word in a specific situation reinforces what has already been written on our hearts. Approaching that prayerfully is how God can work to lead us to those passages we need. But understand, that's not to promote the open and point method. Some of you may recall hearing me share about the guy seeking guidance for a life decision. He took the Bible in his hand and he closed his eyes and said, "Okay, Lord, show me what I need to know. And I'm just going to let the Bible fall open where it will and point, and you tell me what you want me to hear." And he did that, and it read, "Judas went and hanged himself." But that's not real helpful. Let me try this again. So he did it a second time, and he pointed and read, "Go and do likewise." But I got to do what? Let me give it one more shot. He tried, pointed, and read, "And what you do, do quickly." That's not what I'm talking about, folks. I can't tell you the number of times I've been praying about something. And as I pray, the Lord brings to mind one passage after another which collectively speak to the particular situation I'm praying about. Not that the difficult circumstances suddenly change or disappear, but I am given guidance from the Lord about how to walk through those challenges. And I praise Him for His wisdom. Which leads to my last point this morning. Fifth and finally, having brought his concerns to God in prayer, David is equipped to walk forward with confidence in the Lord. Verses 7 through 9. "Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." That is not to say that when David finished praying, all the adversities had disappeared. It is to say that David was differently equipped to walk through them, not simply relying on his own perceptions and clever schemes, but relying on God's forgiveness and presence and wisdom and love and power. We heard it described in the covenant God made with Noah after having preserved him through the great flood. God's promise to never flood the earth like that again. And God's gift of the rainbow as a sign and reminder of his covenant promise. David lived his own life in his own time, confident in that global promise God made to Noah and all flesh that is on the earth. And to future generations, as well as seeing more specific ways God remained true to his promises for David personally. All of which allowed David to walk through the ups and downs of life with confidence in the Lord. We walk with confidence in the Lord, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Because we trust in the Lord, we submit to the Lord and are therefore confident in Him. All of that fits together. We use words like love and mercy and grace to remind us He works for our best interest. We use words like wisdom and power and sovereignty to remind us He is able to do what He promises to do. We use words like Abba, Father, to remind us that he has made us his beloved children. For all those reasons, we turn to him, our God. We trust in him, our refuge. We seek forgiveness from him, our Savior. We seek guidance from him, our shepherd. We walk with confidence with him, our rock. And we praise him for his sovereign power. What adversities are you facing these days? Instead of allowing them to drive a wedge between you and God, take a different path. Choose to turn to the Lord for his pardon and protection in the midst of those things. He is faithful, and he will do it. And then your prayers will become praises. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder again today of how you have made yourself known to us, not just in abstraction, but personally. You came to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. When we see him, we see you. When we know him, we know you. When we love him, we love you. When we trust in him, we trust in you. Make that a growing reality in our lives. Let us know deeply your forgiveness and redemption. And let us walk with confidence in your power and presence with us every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.